Presenting A Doctor's Love, another in a series of dramatizations based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst the Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This week's radio drama was inspired by a most unusual story of a physician's infatuation for his young and lovely assistant, the complete details of which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. It was staged and produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Dr. Rudolf Berger, the young physician who has won recognition for his research work, is deeply in love with his assistant, Laura Hamilton. She has repeatedly refused his proposal. At times, his disappointment has taken him to the verge of suicide. Lately, however, his attitude has shown a change. He has become resigned. We now find Dr. Berger and Miss Hamilton in the dining room of the National Hospital.
I want to thank you for the way you've been lately, Rudolph.
Why, just what do you mean?
Your sportsmanlike manner about me.
Oh, you have Mother to thank for that. She's made me see that merely because I love you.
It doesn't necessarily follow that I should love you.
That's it, Laura. I have loved you, and I still love you, even to the point of hysteria. But then hysteria only makes one ridiculous.
Rudolph, I want you to know, as I've told you many, many times, you're one of the finest men in the world.
Now, my dear, there's no need for flattery.
It's the truth. I enjoy working with you, to watch and see the marvelous things that you do. But to love you, that's different.
The heart obeys only its own command. That's one way of putting it, isn't it?
I suppose so.
You need never be disturbed, my dear. There'll be no more scenes. Why, I can discuss the affair as impersonally now as if I were dealing with microbes.
Oh, you and your ghastly microbes.
Well, they can't be avoided in medicine, Laura. Take this food, for instance. Why, it's full of microbes. You'd be surprised to know how many you're absorbing at this very moment.
I don't want to know. Would spoil my appetite.
Very well, my dear. But remember, you can't escape microbes any more than you can avoid death.
Yes, but they're becoming an obsession with you, Rudolph. Probably because you're constantly photographing them. And then you're hours upon hours in the morgue section. I believe it eventually will make you extremely morbid, or at least not companionable. Try a hobby. Golf or bridge.
Oh, no. No. There's too much medical research ahead. Scores of subjects, each worthy of a lifetime of study. Why, on microbes alone...
Back to microbes once more. Don't expect me to lunch with you again if you insist on talking shop.
All right, my dear. Have it your own way. However, it's time that the doctor and his assistant return to the laboratory. That is, if you don't mind strolling down the hall with me.
Surely.
Peculiar about women in professional work. Now, you'd never hear one man chiding another for talking shop, as you call it. But then I suppose the feminine mind requires mental diversion. Here we are at the workbench once more.
Yes.
We'll resume where our reference notes with our reference notes. There are a good many hours of hard work ahead before we... We'll finish this shortly now. You've helped splendidly. And keeping right at it since luncheon yesterday has certainly brought results, even though we did have to work all night.
Oh, I'm glad the day is almost over. Everything seems to be going wrong with me these last few hours. I've never made so many mistakes before.
We can't always be perfect, you know, my dear. Here's this reaction, just as I expected. See how these elements have separated. Here, look closely. Why, Laura, I thought you were right beside me. Here, this is no time for dozing at your desk.
I can't help it. I've been listless all afternoon.
Fatigue, perhaps. Too much work. First time you've ever given up, though.
It isn't weariness, Rudolph. I have a strange premonition.
No. Premonitions have no place in a laboratory.
Imagination, I suppose. But I've had a terrible headache all day. And my mind is so sluggish.
You've probably done too much, my dear. Go to the morgue section and bring those notebooks we left there. And then we'll call it a day,
All right.
I'll wait here.
All right, Rudolph.
This culture is shaping up nicely.
Come in.
May I clear the laboratory tables now, Dr. Berger?
Yes. Miss Hamilton has gone for the notebook.
She looks ill, Doctor.
Yes? Why do you say that?
Oh, I saw her just now standing in the hall, pressing her hands to her head as if she were in pain.
Well, I think perhaps it's overexertion.
Dr. Berger. Miss Hamilton has fainted, Doctor. She started open the morgue door and stopped, and I heard her cry, "I can't go in, I can't," and then she collapsed.
Where is she?
Well, she's right out here, Doctor. Come this way, please.
Come along.
Right away.
Come along.
There she is, Doctor.
Oh, yes, here. Here, loosen her collar.
Yes.
Now some water, please.
Is she all right?
Well, this is something more serious than a fainting spell. Move her into a vacant room.
This room is empty here, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Please.
Lay down on the
bed.
Wait,
I turn the bed down, Doctor.
Yes.
All right, nurse.
The pillow, please. A little higher, nurse.
A little higher.
There, she's coming out of it nicely.
Anything else we can do, Doctor?
Thank you. No, that's all the help I'll need now.
Yes, Doctor. We'll go.
I'll watch her a while. Thank you. Laura.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
You're overworked, Laura. Why didn't you let me know?
It wasn't that. It's that room. I'll never go in there again.
You're overwrought. Now try to be quiet.
That horrible place. It haunts me, really.
Only an hallucination? A few hours rest and...
All day, that place of the dead has had me in a spell. No.
Try to be calm, my dear. Tomorrow you will have...
Oh, everything in it is frightful. The room leers at me, beckoning. It's terrifying.
There. Now, no more talking. You'll have to be quiet for a while. You must try to fight this thing off, dear. I can't imagine what's come over you.
I do fight, Rudolph. I'm trying to convince myself that it's nothing.
Yes, and you only steep yourself in more agony.
I can't help it. Thought of that morgue room. It has a curse, I tell you.
Dear, you know how much I've loved you.
Yes, I do know.
You're so young and beautiful. You've never known a sick day in your life before. Reason must tell you that this is folly. Now fight down these imaginings.
I am trying. I deny to myself that I'm ill. That strange feeling comes over me. Depression. Hopelessness.
Oh, I'm telling you again, my dear. You're the victim of a self-imposed suggestion.
It isn't superstition. It's something more.
Oh, silly. All of it. I tell you, next Sunday we'll go on a picnic together. Get out of doors and forget everything. Promise?
Yes. I want to go.
3 o'clock. Oh, Dr. Snyder. Come in, Doctor.
Good afternoon. How's the patient?
Well, I'm going to have this young lady experiment with mental self-healing.
Very good idea. Very good.
Are we ready for the lab, Doctor?
Yes, I was on my way there. I just stopped by for you.
Very well, sir. We'll go. Now, remember what I told you, Lars.
I'll try.
Miss Hamilton's case has me somewhat puzzled, Doctor.
Yes, these mental cases are hardly ever understandable.
I know, but if I could only lead her back gradually to normal thinking.
Yes, now don't be discouraged, my boy.
I'm not, sir, but you must remember that, well, Miss Hamilton isn't an ordinary patient, isn't she?
Yes, of course. I know of your regard for her, and I sympathize with you, my boy.
Thank you, Doctor.
Oh, I left my instrument case on the dresser in Miss Hamilton's room just now. You go on into the lab, and I'll join you.
Can I get it for you, sir?
No, thanks. I may be 60, but I can still run my own errand. pardon me, Miss Hamilton. I trust I didn't disturb you. I forgot my instrument case just now.
Yes.
Why, Miss Hamilton, look at me. Your eyes. Tell me, how long have you had this fever?
I don't know.
Were you feeling as you do now when Dr. Berger was here?
Yes, I think so. You rang Dr. Snyder?
Yes, call Dr. Berger in the laboratory and ask him to come here immediately.
Very well. Dr. Berger in the laboratory, please.
Now, Miss Hamilton, are you sure that you haven't suffered a relapse since the doctor last saw you?
I couldn't say, Doctor. My mind is so...
Excuse me, Doctor. They report that Dr. Berger is not in the laboratory.
Well, try the 7th floor reception room. Call Dr. Hastings also.
Very well. Please try to locate Dr. Berger somewhere in the building. It's important. Yes, Dr. Snyder in room 719 calling him. And get Dr. Hastings also. Thank you.
Nurse, have you had this patient?
Yes, Dr. Snyder.
Well, have there been any marked changes in the symptoms within the last few hours?
Not noticeably so, Doctor. Dr. Berger has been in constant attendance.
There's the phone light. Answer it.
Yes. Yes, room 719. Yes. Yes, very well. Thank you. They report that Dr. Berger has left the building and won't be back for an hour.
Out of the building? Good Lord, I just left the man a few moments ago.
Send for me, Doctor.
Yes, Dr. Hastings. This, as you know, is Dr. Berger's patient.
Yes, Doctor.
I returned to this room a few moments ago for my instrument case and glanced at the patient here and noticed these very unusual symptoms.
Indeed.
I called the nurse and had her attempt to call Dr. Berger.
Yes, Doctor.
It seems that Dr. Berger has gone out of the building since I left him but a few moments ago on the way to the lab.
Well, that's strange.
Yes, I can't account for it either. But the fact remains that the patient is in need of immediate attention.
Yes, Doctor.
And I'll have to take the responsibility on my own shoulders.
Serious, Doctor?
Most unusual. We'll have to make a complete laboratory test. Now, make all preparations, please.
Yes,
this
Doctor.
This must
once
be completed by 4 o'clock.
At once, Doctor. Oh, no, it can't be possible, Dr. Snyder. What? Typhoid?
Yes, and to complicate matters, look at this. Paratyphoid A and paratyphoid B.
Oh, my God.
And look at this. Form C also.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's inconceivable. In the whole history of medicine, there's no record of a patient showing all four germs at once.
No, Doc, I remember. Look, Doctor. Look.
What now?
Look at that rack. Four tubes are missing.
What?
Four tubes are missing, Doctor.
And the ones that contain the culture of the four germs we've just found.
Where's Dr. Berger now?
I saw him going into Miss Hamilton's room as I was on my way down here.
Laura. Laura.
I'm afraid, Rudolph. Help me.
Laura, if you only knew.
You're still. Can't you save me? I want to stay.
Don't be afraid, dear.
Rudolph. Doctor. I...
Laura. Laura. Do you hear me?
Doctor. Doctor.
Laura, hold my hand. There. Now, you must let me explain. Laura. Laura, can you hear me?
Yes.
I couldn't live without you. I couldn't even die without you. It wasn't the morgue that had you in its spell. I'm to blame.
You?
Yes. It's all a part of my plan. Remember, dear? Remember the luncheon the day before yesterday? Our talk about microbes? You didn't even suspect what I'd done. It's only a matter of minutes now.
Oh.
Oh, God. God, why did I? But it was all your fault. You wouldn't have me, and I had to have you. If not in life, then in death. But we'll meet now. Then we'll have an eternity to talk it over. Think of it. An eternity together. You and me. They're coming back. Fools. There's nothing they can do. Let them try. It's too late.
But your suspicions can't be true, Dr. Snyder. Why, I
know it sounds fiendish.
Wait, is it possible that the act might have been voluntary?
What a chance. The evidence is against it.
You say that you faced those...
Yes. She lunched occasionally away from the nurse's tables with one of our staff, a man with whom she's been working. It only have been...
Of course, you mean that it was... What's that?
A shot. In Miss Hamilton's room.
Well, come this way. Quick, Doctor.
God.
The burger.
Dead.
Dr. Berger did not reckon with those who fought to save Laura. The combined knowledge of all the specialists the hospitals could summon was brought to her aid. The crisis soon passed, and though very weak, she began to convalesce, free from danger and free from a dreadful vision. Read this interesting story entitled Fed Typhoid Germs to the Girl He Loved. The story appears in next Sunday's edition of the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed to all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Sword of Fate, another in the series of radio plays based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's drama was inspired by an unusual story, which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly Magazine. It was staged and produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. The scene of our play is the city of Rome during the year of the great Emperor Tiberius, one of the most famous Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde characters in ancient history. Tiberius can be referred to by Stevenson's descriptive title because of certain astonishing and unexplainable quirks of his character. Our story of this unusual emperor begins shortly after he had been raised to the throne of Rome. In the antechamber of the Senate, we find Tiberius preparing for the business of the day and discussing matters with his son, Darius.
So that's what they're saying about me, my son.
Yes, Father.
Do you believe them?
Of course not, Father.
Why don't you?
Because I know that you are an honorable man. Base deeds come not easily to your mind.
Darius, my son, none of us knows what we might become if circumstances were different.
That is true, Father.
Take yourself, for example. You might be on the street begging. You might even be a slave in the marketplace. But instead, you are Darius, son of Caesar Tiberius, potential ruler of the Roman Empire.
I know. One day I shall occupy the throne, perhaps.
Perhaps? Why do you say perhaps?
Because anything might happen before that time comes, Father.
You mean it might come to pass that I might lose the throne? Oh, no, my son. Tiberius will never have to abdicate. I have great plans for Rome and for you. You shall carry on my work after I die.
Yes, Father.
Why, you are all I have to live for.
Yes, Father.
And now I must look over the scrolls and see what affairs of state come before the Senate today. General Gratius will be here presently.
You rely on his judgment a great deal, don't you, Father?
Certainly. Gratius is not only a great soldier, he is also a brilliant statesman. My son, heed these words. An emperor is great only by virtue of the character of his advisers.
You mean I must choose only the most brilliant men for my staff?
I do.
You are a brilliant man yourself, Father.
Not at all. I am a practical man.
Hail, Caesar Tiberius.
Gratius, welcome.